listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's Bold Venture, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. But first, with a page right out of the Red Scare, it's I Was a Communist for the FBI. The program, syndicated in 1952, grew out of the Red Scare of the late 1940s and early 50s, starring Dana Andrews as an undercover agent, Matt Savetic, who infiltrated the top levels of the Communist Party and reported back to the FBI. Savetic, a real-life double agent, had written his story in books and national magazine articles in the mid-1940s, and Dana Andrews gave a convincing performance in the radio version. The stories were packed with tension, producing plots within plots, as Savetic's relationships within the party changed. The program was good radio entertainment, drumming up its anti-Red propaganda right down to Savetic's inevitable parting shot, "I was a communist for the FBI. I walk alone." Let's take that walk with Matt Savetic as we return now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with "I was a communist for the FBI" and "Treason Comes in Cans" from 1952, another classic radio program from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
I was a communist for the FBI. Starring Dana Andrews in an exciting tale of danger and espionage, I Was a Communist for the FBI. From the actual records and authentic experiences of Matt Savetic, how many of the incidents in this unusual story? Here is our star, Dana Andrews, as Matt Savetic, who for 9 fantastic years lived as a communist for the FBI.
For 9 years, I managed to live on a communist diet, a diet of indigestible ideals and poisonous philosophies. But even I was shocked to learn that red poison came in cans. This story may save you from a violent case of political ptomaine.
In a moment, listen to Dana Andrews as Matt Savetic, undercover man. Now here is Dana Andrews as Matt Savetic, undercover man. This story from the confidential file is marked "Treason Comes in Cans."
I should have been used to darkness by now. My life had become a series of grotesque shadow dances for the FBI, with the commies playing the music. But you never get used to darkness when the shadows are alive with treachery, when the mist is like the breath of disaster. The fog hung like a soggy veil over this tiny waterfront town. The buildings, the bleary streetlights, everything seemed without shape or form, swimming in a limbo of mist and darkness. And what was I doing here, walking the wet pavement of this waterfront street? I was looking for one particular building, the home of the Oceanic Import Company, a food importing concern that no one ever heard of. That is, no one but me and the commies who'd sent me here. And then, almost too suddenly, the fog swirled with movement. A light appeared over a doorway just ahead. And the darkness spoke to me.
Fettig.
Who's that?
Wagner.
Oh, I've been looking for you, comrade.
Never mind that. This way, in here.
I stepped out of the darkness into the lighted doorway. A door closed behind me. When it stopped blinking, I found myself facing the distinguished director of the Oceanic Import Company, Comrade Eric Wagner. He welcomed me with typical commie friendliness.
You're late, Svetek.
I know. That fog
is... Of course, the fog. Nevertheless, you're late, aren't you?
Well, I suppose I am.
Aren't you?
All right, I'm late. You want a note from my mother?
I suppose your record for competence makes up for your lack of discipline.
Yeah.
Come along. Here, sit down.
Thanks.
You've been briefed on this project, I imagine?
No. I was told to report to the Oceanic Import Company. I was to find you there. It looks like you found me.
Yes. This is the Oceanic Import Company.
This? Well, it's practically a barren room.
All we need. Now, about your reason for being sent here. You know nothing about it?
Nothing.
Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, a foreign freighter will dock at Pier 2.
A freighter? I didn't think this port had any overseas traffic.
Very little. It's primarily a fishing town. But as I say, tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Pier 2, okay.
In that freighter's cargo is a small crate of canned tuna. It's listed for delivery to the Oceanic Import Company.
Canned tuna?
That's right.
What in the world does the party want with
canned... Everything in time, Svetek. Everything in time.
All right. Go on.
You will meet that freighter in the morning, comrade, as a representative of Oceanic Imports. You will check with the cargo inspectors to see that our crate is properly dispersed.
That's all?
That crate of canned goods must not go astray.
Why not?
Because, Svetek, in those cans are microfilm of top-secret documents from the Communist International.
Oh, I see. Now, what sort of documents?
The new revised plan for red action within the United States. The new timetable for the proletariat advance.
I see. Canned goods seem to be going up in value.
Yes. But if you should permit these canned goods to reach the open market, the price will be threatening.
Let's see here. Here we are. Oceanic Import Company. That it?
Yeah, that's it. Has the crate been checked through yet?
Not gonna be checked through at all.
Huh?
Crate's gone.
Gone?
Yeah.
What are you talking
here? Here's the manifest straight from the ship. It says that the canned tuna was damaged in shipment. Started to spoil, went bad.
Here, just a minute. Let me see that.
There it is, black and white. Your crate of canned stuff went bad. Last night, the crew dumped the crate overboard.
It was there in black and white on the cargo report, all right. A crate of canned tuna had been tossed to the bottom of the murky harbor. Now the official red timetable had been put to sleep in the deep, out of reach of the eager commies. But I was still very much within reach of Comrade Wagner.
This report from the cargo inspector, Svetek. You're sure it's complete?
I'm afraid so, comrade.
Get your coat.
What?
Your coat. Put on your coat.
Where are we going?
I'm taking you for a boat ride.
Now look, Wagner, it's not my fault that the crate
was thrown. You needn't try explaining anything, Svetek. Just get your coat and come along.
Now, just one minute.
Are you afraid of the water, Svetek?
All right. Let's go.
Just like the American bourgeoisie, eh, Svetek? Our own little yacht and everything.
Yeah, everything.
Why so glum, comrade? Don't you enjoy the sea air?
I'm a little fed up with this mystery routine you've been giving me. My stake in this project is as great as yours, Wagner, and I don't know...
Relax.
I think I'm entitled...
Relax. I'm about to show you exactly where our crate was thrown.
Our crate? Is at the bottom of the harbor.
There's Point Frugas over there, the entrance to the harbor. Just beyond it, our diligent comrades tossed the crate off the freighter into the water.
Comrades?
You mean we had party workers on the ship who...
Static. You really didn't think the party would let so valuable an item out of its hands for even a moment.
Well, I...
The crate was tossed overboard at a specified point by specially instructed comrades and the crew of the freighter. In this way, we avoided the risk of a possible cargo inspection on the dock. Understand now?
Yeah, I guess so. Seems like the hard way to do things, though.
Difficult, perhaps, but safe. Now, note this location carefully, Static. It will be up to you to get the crate with the microfilm out of the water.
Oh, I see. I see.
You'll hire a diving crew, dredge the bottom. Oceanic Imports will secure the permit.
Hey, now, hey, signore! Hey, you with the motor!
Who's that doing that hollering?
Go away with the motor, signore! Por favor, signore, go away! You scare me, speak!
One of those fool fishermen.
Better change your course, Wagner. You're heading toward his net.
Go the other way, signore! Go away with the motor, please!
Hey, take it easy. What are you doing?
Let him change his course. He's out to snare some measly fish. We're out to haul in the world.
Well, thank you, operator. Here you are. Bigger, this is Red.
Oh, hi, Matt. Where are you?
Still sloshing around the waterfront. Listen, Bigger. My little chums have tucked away a crate of hot microfilm. The FBI can use it.
Yeah? Where is it?
At the bottom of the harbor.
At the bottom? Oh, fine. Can we reach it?
I'll give you the location. I've been ordered to dredge it out for the commies. But I'll stall it off till
we'll
you...
We'll put the Coast Guard right on it. Take it. Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
What about you? Your red playmates get wise?
Well, if you get the job done tonight, they'll...
Look, Matt, we don't want to be fishing you out of the drink, too, you know.
Get it done tonight. I'll keep Wagner away from the shore. Now, look, here's the location. Got a pencil?
Right. Let's have it.
The fog that night was thicker than ever. A sodden blanket that smothered all activity in the harbor. I kept Wagner away from the shore, all right. But the fog kept the Coast Guard away, too. When Wagner met me the next morning, the commie timetables were still asleep in the deep. Wagner, however, was very much awake.
The diver to get the crate, Static. All arranged?
Well, You know, the crews around here are pretty expensive. I've been shopping around for a decent price.
Price? Static, do you realize what the price will be if we lose those microfilms? No time for false economy now, idiot. Just get that job done.
Bigger, I can't stall Wagner any longer. You've got to get that job done tonight. Fog or no fog.
Well, we'll try, Matt. We'll do it somehow.
Static, just why are you in the office now?
I just got in. Why?
This is the second day you've postponed the diving job.
I know. The fog's been awful soupy.
At night, yes. But the days have been clear enough. If you can't handle a simple task like this, comrade...
I can handle it, Wagner. Don't worry about that.
I'm not worrying, Static. But I suggest you start worrying a little more. If the crate isn't out of the water and in our hands tomorrow...
Well, this is Red, Bigger.
Oh, I've been waiting for you to call.
What's the matter?
Matt, are you sure you gave me the right location for that crate?
Sure. We checked it twice, didn't we?
Well, the Coast Guard had divers walking all over the harbor bottom. They combed every inch of it. No crate, no microfilm, nothing.
Nothing? Bigger, it's got to be there. I know it's there. Maybe the tide or the currents or something.
The Coast Guard knows enough to allow for that. The crate just isn't there, Matt. Somebody has picked it off the floor of the harbor, and it's not the FBI.
Oh, great. Great. Well, keep your boys around, Beaker. They may be picking me out of the harbor next.
listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now back to Dana Andrews, starring as Matt Sivetic in I Was a Communist for the FBI, and the second act of our story.
The United States Coast Guard had spent the night scouring the bottom of that murky harbor, searching in vain for the creative communist microfilm. Now it was my turn. By early afternoon, I was on the barge with a diving crew and comrade Eric Wagner, who had come along, evidently, to expose his nerve endings. We inched toward the area beyond Point Frugus, with Wagner becoming increasingly jumpy every bit of the way. I was wondering how he was going to react when he learned the bitter truth when...
Hey!
When one of the crew hopped from the deck of the tug to the barge.
Hey, which one of you is Mr. Svenick?
I am. What's up?
Well, I was up there checking these instructions for the pilot of the tug, and I...
They're all right, aren't they? Your crew can understand them, can't they? I mean, nothing is wrong.
No, everything's fine. You're sure you want the divers to go ahead with this job?
Well, yeah. That's what we hired them for.
Hmm? Okay, you're the boss.
Now, just a moment. What's on your mind?
Well, this crate we're looking for, it's a crate of canned tuna fish, ain't it?
Yes, of course it is. Is there any doubt about that?
No, just that one of them Portuguese fishermen pulled in a whole crate of canned tuna the other day.
What? What this? Where? Where was he fishing?
He'd spread his nets right out there where we're going. Leastwise, that's what I understand.
And you say he pulled in a case of canned tuna?
Yeah. I saw him tie up at the dock. He was one happy fisherman, that guy. No, I ain't sure it was your crate he hauled in, but...
Turn back. Tell the pilot to turn back.
Don't be foolish, Wagner. We've gone this far. We might as well
turn
go.
Turn back, I said. We can't let that fisherman... You. Who's the fisherman? What's his name?
How do I know his name? I just see him once in a while on the docks.
Who is he, man? For the love of heaven, who is he?
Quit yanking at my shirt.
Mike, we'd like to find that fisherman. What did he look like?
Well, like a fisherman. They all look alike to me.
Well, isn't there anything that... Well, you saw his boat. Did it have a name or anything?
Yeah, I come to think of it in Spanish name, or maybe Portuguese. A pal, you know, like a song. Paloma, that's it, La Paloma.
Turn back. We have to find him. Turn back, I said.
Listen, will you quit clawing at me?
Tell our pilot to turn back immediately.
It'll be a pleasure. More ruckus about some crummy cans of spoiled fish.
For the sake of that unsuspecting fisherman, I had to find him before Wagner did. If he'd opened those cans and found the secret commie microfilm, the Reds were licked. But if Wagner got to the fisherman first, he was in for trouble. Bad trouble. Searching the harbor area, we found that most of the fishing boats were out at work on the water and wouldn't return until about sundown. As for the inevitable fog, it didn't help a bit. The only thing I could find with no trouble was Wagner. He stuck to my side like a barnacle with a complex.
Svetic, I hold you fully responsible for this mess.
Me? Why me?
If you hadn't postponed the diving for two days...
Oh, cut it out.
I intend to file a complete report of your laxity with the Control Commission as soon
now look,
as...
Look, Wagner, we're wasting time this way. We ought to split up. Go in different directions.
Might be wise.
Look, you search the south end of the harbor, and I'll cover this bay area. We'll cut the time in half.
Good idea. And Svetic... Don't stop looking till you find that boat, the La Paloma.
Don't worry, comrade. I'm as anxious to find that fisherman as you are. The murky waterfront was well covered that afternoon. I roamed the bustling piers and creaking docks. I studied the flocks of fishing boats huddled at anchor in the crescent of the shoreline. But La Paloma seemed to have flown from her nest. I walked along the edge of the seawall, trying to read the names on the boats that swayed at anchor below me. One boat swayed more than the others, as if to keep time with the loud singing that flowed from her deck. That boat bore the name La Paloma.
Hey! Hey, mister! You call me, senor?
Yeah, that's your boat?
Si, she's mine. My bonita.
Mind if I come aboard?
Come down, amigo. You can jump from the wall, all right?
Well, I can try.
Okay, amigo, take a chance. Leave.
Here goes.
Ah, buenos dias, senor. You know how to mend the nets?
No, I'm sorry. I came to talk business.
Fishing's my business, senor. So we talk about mending nets, eh?
Well, I'm with the Oceanic Import Company.
Huh?
Yeah, we import foods, canned goods, tuna fish, that sort of thing.
Tuna fish, eh? I import, too. I catch a whole crate of canned tuna in my nets. Big importer, that's me. I give you competition, eh?
Well, that tuna you found, that's why I want to talk to you.
You want some? I sell you some pretty cheap.
No, I don't think you'll want any either. The fish in those cans is bad. It's spoiled.
Bad fish in cans?
Yeah, I hope you haven't eaten any. Spoiled tuna can poison you, you know.
Si, I know. You sure my tuna is bad, senor?
Look, I spent all day looking for you so I could warn you. I didn't do it because I needed the walk.
Si. Maybe I'd better tell my wife, eh?
Well, look, I'll do it for you if you like. After all, my company's responsible.
Si, you do it. You tell my wife, I'm in the nets.
Okay, where do you live?
Right down the Bay Shore. Dos Dos Uno, 221 Bay Shore. Over that way.
Okay. Oh, my name's Savetic. What's yours?
Tamarina. Pietro Tamarina. My wife, she's Marie. You'll see her. Make her give you up the canned fish.
I hope she won't mind my butting in.
Go, go on, you tell her. But amigo, hey, you be quiet about it. Do not wake the baby.
Well, I was in the lead now. I'd found the fisherman, and I knew now where the crate was located. I was all set for the home stretch. I looked up to judge the distance from my little leap back to the seawall, and suddenly I knew my lead was gone. There on the seawall, looking down at Tamarina and me, was Comrade Wagner.
Come up here, Aesthetic.
Sure. Give me a hand.
You found the boat and the man, I see, Aesthetic.
Uh-huh.
Does he have a crate?
No. Uh-uh.
He hasn't? Then where... Who has it?
Well, I'm not sure. Come on, let's walk.
Hey, signore!
Oh, what is it, Tamarina?
You head for the wrong way, amigo! I told you my house is that way!
Losing your sense of direction, Svetik? Come on.
Mrs. Tamarina?
What do you want?
I'm Matt Svetik. This is Mr. Wagner from the Oceanic Import Company.
No, nothing today.
It's imperative that we talk to you, madam.
Shh. My baby is sleeping.
We must talk to you now, right now.
Por favor, senor, not so loud, eh?
We just talked to your husband. It's about that crate of canned food he hauled in the other day.
So? It is his, no?
It belongs to our company, madam. We've come to claim it.
Oh, nobody claim it. Pietro hauled it from the water in his snare. What's not yours?
Well, let me explain, Mrs. Tamarina. That canned fish is bad. Rotten. Spoiled.
Bad? Why so bad?
Bad. No good. Can't you understand that?
Senor, if you wake my baby, I call a cop.
You'll do nothing of the sort. You...
You. There. You see, you wake my baby. Adios, senoras. Go away. Adios.
Mrs. Tamarina, please. This is important.
Adios. Go away. Go.
Madam, you're a fool. If you eat that canned stuff, you may kill your whole family.
Kill, huh?
That tuna fish is no good. It's poison. That's why we threw it to the bottom of the harbor. Food like that is dangerous.
Oh.
What's wrong?
Oh, my sister. I gave some of them to my sister.
Will we never see the end of this chase?
Where does your sister live?
Oh, come. Come in. I must fix the baby. My sister, she lives down the street, right close to the bait shop. Por favor, senor, the baby.
Aesthetic, stay here. I'll get the sister.
No. No, you stay with Mrs. Tamarino. I can make it faster.
You get along better with this woman.
Just stay put. I'll be back.
Baby, just a minute.
There was no time to argue now. I had to get away from Wagner in a hurry. I ran toward Mrs. Tamarina's sister's house, passed it, and kept right on running till I reached the bait shop. There was a payphone on the rear wall. I started dialing the local FBI office, but I realized that by the time they'd cover the distance, Wagner and the microfilms would be gone. Hello? Police headquarters?
Oh, senor, a policeman to my house. Hurry. I live at 221 Bay Shore, senor. A man is trying to steal from my house. Hurry, please. Eh? A name? Or me? My name is Tamorina. You got that? Pietro Tamorina.
I knew the local police would find Wagner there, all right. But to make sure the evidence was found, too, I called the FBI and told them to follow through on Wagner's arrest. Once those microfilms were linked to Wagner, one more red would be erased from the commie spectrum. In a matter of minutes, the police car zoomed by the bait shop and stopped at the Tamarina home. I walked away from the phone and turned inland, away from the shoreline. The fog was beginning to roll in from over the water. A soggy veil to hide the face of the waterfront. But this time, the fog was like a welcome friend. It gave me cover, obscurity, the security of darkness. But when you must wallow in treachery to defeat treachery, you learn to greet the gloom more readily. You walk more securely in darkness, as long as you walk alone. This is Dana Andrews, ladies and gentlemen. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, "We want a state of things which allows every man the largest liberty compatible with the liberty of every other man." We have that state of things in America today. 150 million definitions of the word liberty, one for every citizen of the United States, and room for every one of them to flourish. That in itself is the essence of liberty. In the story you just heard, names, dates, and places are fictitious to protect innocent persons. Many of these stories are based on incidents in the life of Matt Cevedek, who worked undercover for the FBI. Next week, another fantastic adventure. Join us then, won't you?
From 1952, it's been communist plot seeker and double agent Matt Cevedek with I Was a Communist for the FBI and Treason Comes in Cans. In a moment, we'll enjoy some bold venture with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Bold Venture had two things going for it from the very beginning, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Set in Havana, Cuba, the program was produced by Bogart Santana Productions and syndicated between 1950 and 1951. By the spring of 51, it was playing in more than 400 markets, bringing in some $4,000 a week for the Bogarts. Bogey played Slate Shannon, owner of a Cuban hotel. Bacall played Sailor Duval, whose father had died, leaving her under Slate's supervision. The title came from Shannon's boat, Bold Venture, which was often employed in their tales of adventure and modern piracy. The rundown hotel setting was perfect for the wildest assortment of drifters and causes, becoming a crossroads of sort for treasure hunters and revolutionaries. Theme music was provided by David Rose. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear, and from 1950-51, here's Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall starring in Bold Venture with Blue Moon, another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean. Bold Venture. Once once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Your name's Slate Shannon.
That's right. And this is Miss Duval.
I'm very happy.
Then I'm happy, too. Hello.
My name is Cameron. I have a plantation outside of San Tomas. Sugar.
Sugar? For the time being, just call me Sailor.
What can we do for you, Mr. Cameron?
I've never come to a man and begged before in my life.
Well, then you've come to the wrong man. You don't have to beg anything from me.
It's about a girl. A young girl. Wild, impetuous, and spoiled.
No thanks. Mr. Shannon already has one.
Sailor, why don't you go and put a new point in our desk pen?
Where am I going to get a new point? Post office is closed.
Please. It's about my daughter. It's about Kathy. Kathy and the Blue Moon.
Oh, yes. There's a gambling ship in the bay called the Blue Moon. Look, if you're a man in trouble, I'll listen to you. If all you want to do is hire someone to spank your daughter for gambling, get yourself somebody else.
There's nobody else can do what I want you to do.
You haven't told Slate yet what it is. Maybe he won't.
Do you mind if I make my own decision, Sailor? Go ahead, Mr. Cameron.
Kathy's involved with a man named Norton.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him. He owns the Blue Moon. How did your daughter get mixed up with a guy like that?
I don't know. All I know is that since she's met him, she's changed. She's a stranger to me. She's on that boat all the time.
I have an easy solution. Why don't you just tell Mr. Norton to buy your daughter from the boat?
I've tried that. He laughed in my face. He told me...
Hold it a minute. Sailor, there's a guy over there at the cigar counter. Take care of him. Well, go ahead, Sailor. I'll remember every word Mr. Cameron says and tell you later. All right, Cameron?
Well, Norton knows something about Kathy I don't. I know my daughter. It's more than just a lust for gambling. Please, will you help me, Shannon? Go there, talk to Kathy. Convince her that she need never go back to that ship again. Please, please, I'll give you anything.
Put your wallet back. Your daughter's in trouble with Norton. I'll try to straighten her out.
You don't understand, Shannon. I'm a rich man.
When I bring Kathy back, you'll give me a box of lump sugar?
You're not too loud, Paul. You disturb our boss.
Tell Greg I want to see him.
Our boss sleeps. His brain goes all the time. He needs rest.
Wake him up, Mickey. I've got something for him.
I don't wake up, boss, till he asks me.
Wake me up, Mickey. Who wants me?
It's your croupier, Paul. The wheel junkie says he's got something. He can keep it to himself till you get your share of sleep, boss.
Let him in.
Our boss says for me to let you in. I'll let.
You have something for me, Paul? Well, give it to me, but make it tender because I just woke up.
I was in Shannon's place a little while ago.
And you had fun. Rub my neck, Mickey. There's a crick in it.
Yeah, thanks, boss.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
There was someone else there. Kathy Cameron's father.
Now the other side, Mickey.
He's sick with worry about his daughter. Want Shannon to take her away from you.
You three must have made a jolly group.
They were so wrapped up in it, Shannon, his girl, Cameron. They thought all I wanted was to buy a pack of cigarettes.
You're a good boy, Paul. The thing of many talents.
Shannon's coming out here to the boat. I thought you'd need to know.
Paul's a good boy, isn't he, Mickey?
I'm better for you, boss. He can't do the things for you I can do. He can't...
Of course he can't, Mickey. Nobody can. That's why I keep you around, isn't it?
See? See? That's why he keeps me around. That's why...
Sure, Mickey. So they want to take Kathy away from me. And Kathy will never leave me.
Because I fixed it that way, didn't I, boss?
Mm-hmm. Because you threw yourself in front of her car because she thought she'd killed you. That's why you've got to keep out of her sight, because for as long as she thinks you don't exist, she belongs to me. Till I use her up. Her and her daddy's money. And so clean. She loses it to me at the roulette table. Clean and legitimate.
Boss, this Shannon could...
No one's going to spoil it, Mickey. Not a well-paying corpse like you, I give you my word.
Look through the porthole, Greg. That's Shannon's boat coming alongside.
Go hold his hand, Paul. Then bring him to me. I want to tell him how he can't part two sweethearts like Kathy and me.
Mm-hmm.
You do me and my gambling ship great honor, Miss Duval, Mr. Shannon.
Your boy brought us to you. We asked for Kathy Cameron.
He didn't want to deny me the pleasure of meeting you two. He has standing orders to deliver to me first the illustrious, the renowned.
You see, Slate, I keep telling you that's what we are. You never believe me. Go on, Mr. Norton. You were saying...
That I would have shuddered if you came aboard and deprived me of yourselves.
Gee, you're smooth, Mr. Norton, the way you talk. The waxed mustache. That's the only word for you. Smooth.
So you saved yourself a shudder, Norton. Now, is it all right if we go find Kathy?
She may not care for you disturbing her at the gambling table. Now, what did you want with Miss Cameron?
We're going to take her back to Havana with us, Norton, because her father's lonesome for her. He's a funny guy. He thinks his daughter ought to spend more time at home. Any objections? I only asked you because you stuck your nose in.
No objections. I only fear for you.
You think you can stop me?
I know I can. However, Miss Cameron is in the casino on A deck. And please sign the guest book. I'll want something to remember you by.
Number 12 on the black. Black page, 12 page.
Miss Cameron?
What?
Mind if we talk to you?
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Place your bets.
Mind if we talk to you?
Go away.
I can't do that, Miss Cameron.
Why don't you two try the poop deck? It's a good place to jump from.
Jump from? Oh, your preposition is dangling, Kathy. Your father must have picked the wrong finishing school for you.
My father? Oh, it made me miss my bet.
Sailor.
I know. You want me to kibitz that hot game of old maid over there.
Come on, Kathy. Let's get some air, you and I.
You're hurting my arm.
It's an advice I use to make myself clear. Come on.
I made a suggestion to you before concerning the poop deck. Or if that doesn't suit you, why don't you try it from this rail?
You're just a kid, Kathy. You've got to grow up a little more before that kind of talk becomes you.
Oh, you think I'm a kid?
19, 20? Kids that old and women over 40 use lipstick the way you do.
Another suggestion. A girl 19 is better for you. Want to know why? I'll put my arms around you and show you.
Hey, take it easy.
And hold you. Okay, Norton.
Yeah. Did you notice, Miss Cameron? I only had to do it once, right in back of the neck.
Get him out of here.
I think I'll give him back to Miss Duval. Don't you think I'm considerate?
Mr. Slate, he stood on moonlit deck. Man from behind hit him in he neck. Lady Sailor, she bring from ship Blue Moon her winnings to date, Mr. Slate in a swoon. Because they tried to do one very good deed, bring daughter back to father who cried his need. He wave at them a face full of woe. Mr. Slate, he say, don't cry, I go.
You see, Slate, if you didn't make such a hobby of helping people, this never would have happened to you.
Yeah, that's just what a fella needs at a time like this, Sailor, a kind word.
Now you are hurt, Mr. Slate, because you love a good deed too much?
Yeah, I live for the moment when I can bring a wandering girl back to her daddy.
Let Norton have her. I don't think I could go through this again.
You go through with it.
Your neck is my neck. I read that once in a poem.
I'm going back to the Blue Moon, Sailor. Mend me real nice, because I've got some things to do there. I want to look good.
If you go back, they'll kill you. Those were Norton's parting words to me. He said, tell him not to come back. Next time, I'll give him to you in pieces. You're a complicated man, Slate. I could never put you back together again.
Give me another whiff of your smelling salts, Sailor. That ringing noise is back in my skull.
You're a ham bone. That's the telephone. Shannon's place, Sailor Duval.
Mr. Shannon, please.
Oh, It's for you, Slate, the man who grows sugar. He's in a tizzy. Anyway, he makes sounds like a tizzy.
I'll let you know. Slate Shannon speaking.
Forget it, Mr. Shannon. Forget ever I've called on you. I don't need you any longer.
Where are you, Mr. Cameron?
I'm at home. But you're not to come here. You're not to...
Get me a clean shirt, Sailor. I've got to see a man who doesn't need me.
Thank you.
told you...
What's this all about, Cameron?
Did anyone follow you here?
I didn't bother to look. Let's go inside.
If they followed
inside.
You...
Inside. Norton's got you scared too, huh?
You don't know what you're doing coming here.
Who did he threaten? You or your daughter?
Get out of here.
You made a big noise when I first met you, Cameron. Now all I hear is chicken. Your daughter needs help. What happened to all your worry about her?
I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Hey, you're kidding.
No! Let go of me.
You're going to calm down. Hey, that's better. Now, don't let us throw you. It's just a matter of age and condition.
They'll kill her.
No, they won't kill her. That's not what you're afraid of.
Yes, yes.
They're taking all your money through her. Killing you would be a safer investment. That way, they'd get the money a lot faster.
I don't want to die.
Neither do I. You started something with me. Now it's got to be finished.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now, back to Bold Venture. Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
I give you two words, Slate. You're crazy.
Yeah, I get psychotic when I'm beat over the head. Now, look, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Go get some sleep.
I've gotten better prizes than you in the bottom of a crackerjack box.
Why don't you do what I tell you?
Look, if you tried to handle the Bold Venture now, you'd drive her into the rocks. In your condition, you...
You've got a condition.
The man said he'd kill you if you came out to the Blue Moon again. He said that... Aren't you going to help me aboard our boat? All right. Sometimes I wonder why I even bother. I had a spaniel once who had better manners than you. Talk to me, Slate.
Out of the way. Ah, come on. Now, you're going to give me trouble.
Who are you talking to?
Out of the way. Sailor!
What do you want?
Come here. Look at the motor. Wires all over the place. Someone's
come aboard.
Who's there? I can't see your face. Who is it?
But you can see my gun, can't you?
Who are you?
How about you, Mr. Vall? Can you see it?
Move it a little to the left. Thanks. My, it's pretty in the moonlight.
If you get that boat fixed, take it north. If you take it south, you might get too close to the Blue Moon. Then everything will blow up in your face.
I've been pushed around long enough. I've got about...
And next time, I'll put the bullet into your head, Shannon, instead of into the woodwork of your boat. Want to try? No? See? You can be sensible. Good night, mechanics.
Do yourself nicely on my money, Paul. Your apartment, charming. The decor, excellent taste. And now that I've performed the amenities, you have something for me?
It'll take Shannon a long time to fix his boat.
And you convinced him not to annoy us anymore?
It's hard to tell with a man like Shannon.
Yes, you're ever so right. Then it's up to you, my dear Kathy. If Shannon should discover you're a murderess, a hit-and-run killer, they'd take you away from me. And that would make you desolate, wouldn't it?
You wanted me to do something? Just tell me. Don't claw at me like a fat cat.
Emotions have their way with you, don't they, my dear? All right. Call Shannon's place. Ask for Miss Duval. Tell her to come here because you need her so desperately. In 10 minutes. You do need her, Kathy. So you won't waste your precious life away in prison.
Shannon's place, Sailor Duval speaking.
This is Kathy, Miss Duval. Kathy Cameron. Is Mr. Shannon there?
No, he's sitting up with a sick boat. He's apt not.
Good. Listen, you must come here alone. 16 Paseo Gomez, apartment 12. In 10 minutes, if it matters to you whether I live.
Well, that's the other side of town. How do I get there this time of night? There are no cabs. What do I do? Wave a wand over a pumpkin?
Oh, you must. Please, find a way.
Well, maybe King Moses will lend me his jalopy. What's wrong, Kathy? Why do you
In
want...
In 10 minutes, Mr. Bow. The way you wanted it, Greg?
Your choice of words was exquisite, my dear. And it is a matter of whether you live.
Dum da dum, dum da da da.
Hey, watch out, you crazy fool! Look, I didn't see you. You're hurt, aren't you? I'll go get help.
Hey there.
Am I glad to see somebody? This man
ran... I saw what happened.
Get a doctor, will you?
Your car was weaving from side to side. You ran this man down.
What are you talking about? He just ran out in front of the car.
And you tried to run away. If I hadn't stopped you, you'd have just left the man lying there.
You know something?
You don't have anything to worry about as long as you listen to me.
You know something? Now your voice fits your face. First it was your face. You spin the wheel on the blue moon. And your voice happened a little while ago, aboard our boat. Wait a minute.
It doesn't matter who I am. You hit that man.
Ouch! Hey, you out of your mind, lady?
Did I pinch you too hard? You're supposed to be dead.
Hey, we got a clever one on our hands, Paul.
Yeah. She's done being clever. Throw her in the car, Mickey. The boss will tell you where to throw her after that.
Welcome, Mr. Slit. I got coffee perking for you in the kitchen.
Thanks, King. You didn't have to wait up for me.
What I have and have not to do, Mr. Slit, is my own affair. I go bring you a coffee.
No, no coffee. Stay here, King. Sing to me. Right now, I need sleep.
I do not think sleep will come to you, Mr. Slit.
You just sit there and watch it.
It will not come because Miss Salo is not here.
If you asked the realm of Anna this time and I'd let her, I got other things on my mind.
2 hours ago, there came a phone call. Miss Salo, scribble address on pod, borrow my auto. Here is the address. I think you better go look for her, Mr. Slit.
If you're afraid she'll abscond with that heap, take $20 out of the register, King. That'll take care of it.
Because the call came from Miss Kathy Cameron.
Huh?
I told you sleep would not come, Mr. Slit.
You banging on the right door, mister?
Yeah. Banging on the right head.
Oh!
We'll drag you inside. Come on, up on your feet. Get with it, Buster. Start talking.
What's the matter with you?
Ow! Up. This is where we were 10 seconds ago. Start talking.
Not gonna get you anyplace, Shannon.
You know my name. That's for taking the liberty. What did you do with Sailor?
Blue Moon. She's there.
How come she's there? You're going to answer me, Buster, because you happen to be fresh off the Blue Moon. You're the guy who spins the roulette wheel.
I tried to frame her. Didn't work.
How?
Make like hit and run. Blackmail. Little guy, Mickey, used to make a living at it. Run in front of the car, make out he's hurt. People get scared. Pay off.
Sailor was too smart.
Didn't bite.
Same gambit you pulled on Kathy Cameron, huh?
Get out of it, Shannon.
You know, for a guy who spins a roulette wheel all day, how come you keep one in your apartment?
Hobby.
Uh-huh. Hobby. And you'll enjoy this. I read where a croupier in Monte Carlo practiced and practiced. He got good. He could put that ball in the black slot or the red slot almost every time he wanted.
You're buying grief.
He couldn't do it every time, but his average was great.
All right, all right.
Like you and Norton are doing to Kathy Cameron. Blackmailing her on a hit-and-run caper. She pays off by playing the wheel, loses money every night. Knows it's rigged against her and can't do anything about it.
Stealing money legal.
Uh-huh. Because I woke you from a deep sleep.
Oh.
I give it back to you. amigo. Your boat for hire?
Let me hear a number, senor.
$5.
Not the right number. Try Carlos with the cattle.
$10.
Put your money where my hand is.
Here. $8 and change. Blue Moon, skipper. She's anchored a few miles out.
First, I count the change.
Look, you.
Do you want the Blue Moon, senor? Then let me count the change. 97, 98, 99. Oh, here is the other penny. You almost didn't make it, senor. You want I should wait for you, senor?
Yeah, wait.
I give you a hand up the side.
Well, there's rope hanging down from the side. Just hold the end of it. I'm going up hand over hand. And now, pick a cabin, Shannon, and see how your luck is. Sailor. Sailor. Sailor.
Hey, it's the middle of the night.
Yeah, isn't it, though? I'll get back to you. Sailor.
That you, Slade?
Let me in.
I can't. The door's locked.
You got a hairpin?
What's the matter? Night wind playing hard with your hairdo?
Slip it under the door.
All right, here. Where did you learn how to pick a lock?
A friend of mine taught me. Gee, that reminds me, I owe her a letter. Stay like this, sailor. It's been too long since I felt your arm against my cheek.
Just think. All this while, there's only been a hairpin.
Get back in there, sailor.
Put your hair up. I'll be back. Get away, Shannon. You made a mistake, Shannon. I'm going to find you in that boiler room and kill you. Shannon. Well, I've got to hand it to you, Shannon. You tried. Too bad you had to die on a coal pile. You almost...
Come on down to the coal pile with me.
I'll free you.
Start with this. I can still hear you. Can't hear you anymore now, Norton.
Slade, are you all right?
Look, I spoiled a nice clean shirt you washed for me.
I'll wash your other one.
First, there's a couple of guys on this boat. I've got to collect them for the police.
What about Kathy?
She's got nothing more to worry about. Her father can get her.
Well, it happened again, Slade. You did your good deed, and you got your lumps for it. Don't you get tired of it.
Till the next time. Let's get out of here, sailor. Yeah. She's all fixed, sailor. The last wire's in place. The Bold Venture's gonna run like a dream.
Fine. Where are we going?
I didn't say we were going anyplace. I just said the Bold Venture'd run like a dream. You want to hear it?
If it makes you happy.
All right. Wait till you hear that motor purr.
What kind of a dream does that sound like?
I had it running a minute ago.
Let me try.
What'd you do to it?
Touched it gently. You want to see how? See? Your eyes. Your cheeks. Your lips. You purr too, don't you?
Full speed ahead, sailor. There's a smooth sea tonight.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
In 1950-51, it's been Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall starring in Bold Venture with Blue Moon. That's all the time we have for today, but be with us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen. to enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do.
Preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.